Uncle York, the fine old feller, going to be our storyteller. Been around for a century, keeping an eye on you and me.
I'm your storyteller, Uncle York. I've been around a long time. My eyes have seen everything that's ever happened in New York State. I have a story to tell you today, produced and transcribed by the New York State Department of Commerce, and dedicated to the men and women everywhere through whose courage and enterprise we enjoy our freedom's blessings. House has ever been on fire, you know the panic of that awful cry. Today, the cry of fire is answered with the roar of powerful firefighting equipment. The sirens tell you that help is on the way. But if you go back to a small town in York State a century and a half ago, you'd find things some different. The rules and regulations on fire went something like this.
And upon the cry of fire, every person give information where the fire is. Let the several sextons ring the bell until the fire be extinguished. The engine men, the fire wardens, and the watermen should repair immediately to their respective engines and conduct them with dispatch to the fire. The wardens are to see that the pipe, suction, hose, bucket, copper pump, and all other apparatus thereto belonging be forwarded with the engine. That all other able-bodied male inhabitants repair immediately to the fire with the buckets belonging to their respective families, taking care, if in the night, to put on their clothes before they go out.
Mary, where'd you hide my trousers?
What will you wear, oh, my dear, oh, my dear, oh, what will you wear, Jenny Jenkins? Oh, what do you care if it just go bare? Don't buy no rings.
Isaac, you start the line here. The engine's on the way. Everybody got buckets? All right, start the buckets moving. And don't everybody let up till the fire's out.
Yeah, putting out a fire in those early days was really something. Usually, it took such a long time that nothing much could be saved. About all they could do was keep the fire from spreading. But sometimes it got way out of hand. New York City, for instance, had two terrible conflagrations that wiped out acres of the city at a time. Most everybody dated things according to the year of the Great Fire, at some place or other. But as city property began to increase in value, and population got more and more concentrated, the famous American genius for inventiveness began to be applied to firefighting. All over the state, there sprung up little shops building engines or steamers for protection against fire. There was the Button Fire Engine Works at Waterford. Silsby was building pumpers at Seneca Falls. Already the tradition of pride in equipment had a strong foothold. For instance, at the American La France fire engine shop in Elmira, it was the year 1878 when a workman in the shop excitedly approached his boss.
We want to take the Genie Jewel to Chicago.
Chicago, Webb? What on earth for?
With the grand trial, sir. It's something new, and since all the makers of fire equipment bring in their stuff for a contest, everybody has a chance to show what their engines can do. There's plenty of fire chiefs and officials around ready to buy the kind that shows up best in the trial.
Well, I'll bet they can't outdo the Genie. How's her record stand now?
Oh, she'll get up 30 pounds of steam in 3 minutes from cold water, sir, and 80 pounds in 5 minutes.
I guess it'd be pretty foolish not to show her off, Ab. Let's take her out. Who knows? Maybe she'll win the contest.
Well, sir, the men from American La France took the Genie Jewel to the Chicago trials. There was plenty of tension as they started the Genie off from cold water. Most folks in this country have always loved contests and competitions anyhow. And you might say firemen take the greatest pride of all in their own equipment. So while the Genie Jewel was working up a head of steam, there was plenty of jittery nerves until a stream of water started shooting out of her hose.
Help!
the genie jewel. Time 9 minutes, 40 seconds from cold water.
A long time ago, in the middle of a war, a man named Jackson said, you gotta get there firstest with the mostest, or you're surely dead.
Yeah, the genie jewel won the prize. And her performance at the trial sold a lot of fire engines for American La France. And so it went. By ones and by twos, the small companies which had been making equipment and apparatus around New York joined forces to strengthen their patents or to improve their capital or their know-how. And by 1927, this group of fire eaters had become the American La France Fomite Corporation, with a big sprawling plant near the banks of the Chemung River in Elmira. Their equipment fought fires around the world. With the Second World War came a tremendous demand for firefighting equipment on the battlefronts, on the sea, and in the air. That meant there were few replacements for civilian fire departments. Yet while hands and bodies were busy with the tools of war, minds could jump ahead to dreams of the post-war world. At the plant near the Chemung River, a couple of men were doing just that on a summer day in 1943. Hugh Walker, manager of sales engineering, and the chief engineer of motor fire apparatus, Alan Shepard, were talking.
Hey, Hugh. Have you got a minute?
Sure thing, Shep. What's up?
Look here. I found this bunch of old pictures in the file. Gave me an idea.
Hey, look at that. That's the old button hand pump. Isn't that a beaut?
Yeah, look at the date on it, 1834.
Yeah.
Now look at this one. This is horse-drawn.
1865. Brother, I'll bet those old steamers saw plenty of action.
Yeah, but this one's quite a change. Look at this one. The early 1900s.
Yeah.
The first motorized fire truck built in production.
Oh, I've heard about that one. Still in use, they say.
Yeah, we've changed a lot since the early 1900s. But look, Hugh. All of these revolutionary changes in equipment came along with a war. War seemed to speed things up.
Well, I expect this war is going to bring plenty of changes. Once it's over and we can start building for the fire service once more.
It will develop plenty of new materials.
Mm-hmm. New materials, extra strong steels, lightweight metals, along with new firefighting techniques. Are you going to incorporate some of those in the first truck we turn out after the warship?
We'll have to. My point is, there's bound to be improvement. Most of all, a desire for improvement.
Mm.
Especially from the hundreds of fire chiefs who got caught early in the war with worn-out equipment and no chance to replace it.
Well, I've talked to a good many chiefs who've got constructive ideas on that subject. Plenty who'd like a chance to speak their piece.
Hugh, with the war going on, we can't build new designs now. But we sure as shooting can plan them.
Say, how about giving the chiefs a chance to really say what they'd like? Get together a kind of symposium of ideas.
Hmm. Yeah. When is the next meeting of the IAFC?
September, Chicago.
You know, Hugh, we could canvass the chiefs, get their opinion. But we'd have to prepare something.
We'll get up a brochure, give them plenty of illustrations. Chance to vote for or against new features.
I'll tell you what. Let's take the idea into Jim Binford. See what he thinks about it.
Okay. Gosh, I can see that post-war model now. Half a block long, big as a B-24, low slung, cab over engine. Maybe with a retractable wing.
That's enough, you. We'll let the fire chief do the dreaming.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they asked him to do. A few months later, in Chicago, at the International Assembly of Fire Chiefs, Hugh Walker explained the symposium.
And we feel that your experience may prove helpful to other fire chiefs when it's resolved into some feature providing more utility. You'll find that we're giving you a chance to vote on all phases of equipment. For example, cab over engine versus the conventional body, fixed or hinged windshield, different types of suction hose connections. We've tried to hit on every phase of design. If we've missed any, we hope you'll catch them. You can make a big contribution to the efficiency of the fire service by giving us your comment and suggestions on improvements in equipment. Thank you very much. Five more. Makes 792.
Hey, you. How are we doing?
It's amazing. We've got almost 800 replies here and they're still pouring in.
Have you had any chance to evaluate any of the ideas yet?
I've glanced at a few, but I got swamped. Glenn needs some help.
And we were wondering if we'd get a response.
Shep, I don't think the management of any business has to worry about a response when they take the pulse of the customer. People are only too glad to have a part in the design or the details of a product that they're going to use. The big question now is, if we build what they've asked for, will they buy it?
Well, it's sure nice to be able to give you the happy ending on that symposium. As soon as the war ended, American La France Fomite came out with their new series of motor fire apparatus, incorporating the ideas that the majority of fire chiefs had suggested. They called it the 700 series. Orders began coming in thick and fast, with the result that the company's been enjoying the greatest period of prosperity in its history. You know, I figure when a business invites its customers to state plainly what they want, well, then they just can't go wrong. We're mighty proud to have as a member of our New York State industrial population this oldest and biggest manufacturer of fire equipment and apparatus in the world. This giant grew from many small companies which found they could give the customer better products for his money by joining together. The 2,000 folks that build, sell, and service these products are helping to guard your home and mine from fire day and night. Between $6 and $7 million in wages and taxes are put into circulation every year in New York's southern tier because of the success of this venerable but forward-looking firm, whose first root company was fighting fire back in 1834. Like so many of New York State's long-established businesses, American La France Fomite is a solid segment of the backbone of its community. Under our American way of living, industries like this make jobs, and jobs make us secure and prosperous enough to enjoy our homes, our leisure, and our freedom's blessings.
Uncle York, the fine old feller, he has been our storyteller. Told a tale of fightin' fire, he'll tell another one, tell us more.